Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running with Shakespeare.
You may have heard of a race called Midsummer Night's Run. It was a lot of runners' favorite race, and it was geared around the Midsummer Night's Dream play, and so that was what people would dress up as. We changed the name to Shakespeare Runs the Night, and it opens up more characters for them to dress up as, so they don't have to, dress up as a Midsummer Night's Dream character. You know, they've got the whole gamut of the Shakespeare plot to go by, and I'm hoping people do because it makes it fun.
An MS patient gets ready to run a marathon.
So I had maybe done something stupid. Before I went through the transplant, I had agreed with a friend to run the 10K at Ottawa race weekend. So I struggled through that and put up a not so great time, but I did it. And then I got asked by another friend to run the PEI marathon. And I thought about it for a couple days, and I thought, yeah, I can do that. I can make that work.
And getting lots of support at the finish line.
Last week was probably one of my toughest weeks. I really, really struggled to kind of finish and was really having a rough time. But everybody there is very, very encouraging. And at my 2.5 mark, the girl that was there, she was really encouraging me. And then she met me at about 4K on my way back and ran in the last K with me. And then a few more of the gentlemen who run every week also joined in, and they helped me get to that end when I felt it was a time when maybe I couldn't do it. So everybody is very, very encouraging.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we're going to tell you more about a race that lets you dress up as your favorite Shakespearean character. Also, the remarkable, inspiring story of an MS patient who could barely crawl a year ago and is now training for a marathon. He's even talking about doing an ultramarathon, and how a simple 5K race shows how incredibly supportive the running community can be. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you this week?
Everything is great.
Now, we've talked a lot about all the great advice that we've gotten as runners. People have given us great tips. We share great tips on the show on a regular basis. Is there any great advice that comes to mind when if I were to say, what's the best tip you've ever gotten as a runner? Does anything come to mind?
I would say wake up very early on race day so you have a chance to go to the bathroom before you get to the moment of truth.
That's a good one. I agree with
that.
Some people are a little more, a little more prone to have to go to the bathroom a lot than on race day than others. Like, for example, when you and I ran the Boston Marathon, you had to go straight to the porta potty when we got to the village in Hopkinton. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, like all advice, I don't necessarily take my own. I just know what's the good thing to do. I don't do
it. But the reason I bring this up is because I saw a great blog posting recently by a woman named Tina Muir, and it was shared on social media, and I went to her website and read this blog posting about the worst running of advice you can imagine. So these aren't real pieces of running advice, but she just engaged all of her followers and got them to share the worst piece of running advice they could imagine. Things like eat a lot of Mexican food, some spicy Mexican food the night before your race, washed down with lots of beer.
Okay, that's a good one.
Make sure to drink 3 to 4 bottles of water right before the race.
Sure.
Yeah. Wear lots of cotton and eat lots of cabbage and cauliflower the night before the race.
Ew.
Yeah. Weave in and out of people as much as you can to make sure you don't let anyone stay in front of you for too long. Try to lead from start to finish. That's another good one. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And try barefoot running for the first time in a race. Yeah, there you go. So some good tips.
I've done all of these things.
Yeah. But, people, it's funny. You encounter runners all the time who are willing to try something new on the day of a race. And I always say, wait a second. Don't do anything on the day of the race that you have not done on a regular basis as part of your training. Don't try new shoes. Don't try a new way of doing things. Stick to what works.
I know. I'll get killed for this, but you always see people at the expos buying stuff on, like, the Saturday that they're then going to use. Okay, if it's raining out and you need a running poncho, okay, maybe that makes sense. But in general, like, what? you know, don't get your race shirt on Saturday that you're going to wear on Sunday. Get the stuff, by all means, support our partners, go to the expos, buy things. Just hold off, don't use it the very next day.
Wear them next week or the week after when you're doing your next training run, but don't wear them on race day. Don't wear a new pair of shorts or a new pair of socks and then end up with a bunch of blisters because you weren't used to it. You know, that's what you got to avoid.
And another one is like, stick to your race plan. I don't know how often I do this. I'm always saying, okay, I'm going to do 325. I'm going to do, you know, I haven't trained as much as I thought I might have. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. But then, you know, if something happens and I get there and they're playing the music and there's all these people and I see some folks I recognize, it's like, you know what? Forget everything that I've trained for and everything that I know about the shape that I'm in. Like, just go for a PB anyway, just because I'm excited.
Yeah. Or maybe for weeks and weeks, talk about running with somebody else for the entire race. And then a couple of kilometers into the race, change your mind about that. You would never do that.
You would never do that, right? Never.
I'm joking, because, of course, that's what you did in Boston when we talked about running together. But you were so fired up by all of the atmosphere and everything, even on a horrible day weather-wise. You were so excited that you just couldn't help yourself. You had to run faster.
Well, you know, when the spirit takes hold, you know, it's like it's the running equivalent of talking in tongues. What are you supposed to do when
Absolutely.
The spirit moves you?
Yeah. So coming up on the show today, we are going to talk to an incredible runner from Smiths Falls, not far from here in Ottawa, who has MS, but despite the fact that a year ago he was really struggling and could barely walk, he had some treatment, a bone marrow transplant, and now he's training for a marathon, which just seems almost incomprehensible how night and day that is compared to a year ago. We are also going to talk to a runner who's getting ready for the 5K at the Niagara Falls International Marathon in October. This is one that's on my list, by the way, because I'm not aware of any other marathon in which you can run in two different countries in the same race. I don't think there is another one. I guess maybe Detroit, Windsor, might be the other one. But, it's something that only could happen in Canada and the United States, where you'd be able to figure out the logistics of that. So many borders in this world are just, you know, you could never have a marathon straddling two borders or two countries. So this is an event I'd love to do. We're going to talk more about that. And Dave Emilio is going to join us, a good friend of both of us from the Beaches Running Club in Toronto. A great runner, a guy who's done Boston many times and has shared his stories with us over the years. But we're going to talk to him about Shakespeare Runs the Night, which is an event coming up next weekend in Toronto. And people are going to be dressing up in their favorite Shakespearean characters' costumes. Very cool.
I love that you described him as a great runner, too, because, I mean, I think what we both agreed upon, what qualifies as a great runner isn't necessarily the world's speediest, but somebody who gives back, you can actually say they give the sport more than they take, and I think Dave definitely qualifies for that.
Absolutely. And you know what? The perspective I'm hoping to get from him on the show is what it's like organizing an event and being in that role as opposed to just showing up at the start line and running the event, and what kind of different perspective you get as a race organizer, which is what he's doing more and more of now.
Yeah, and he's done both for years, so great guest.
Yeah, look, I don't know what you've got planned coming up soon. Have you got any races in the near future?
Oh, races, I have races upon races. I am going to do Dave's event, and then I'm going to do the Army Run in September. Then we have Scotiabank Marathon down here in the waterfront in Toronto, October 22nd, and all of that is in anticipation of the New York Marathon, which I'm originally from New York, and I've never run the New York Marathon, and I'm dialed in. So,
all right.
I've been doing my speed work. I'm getting ready to rock.
Right on. Well, good luck with all of that. We'll talk to you next week, Ben.
Thank you, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about Shakespeare Runs the Night. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race, the 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race.
Register at armyrun.ca.
Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. You can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. Our first guest this week is Dave Emilio of the Beaches Running Club in Toronto. Dave has been with us before, sharing his experiences at the Boston Marathon and other events. But we're going to talk to him today about a race that he's organizing. It's called Shakespeare Runs the Night, and it's next weekend in Toronto. Dave, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be back and talking to you, Mark.
And before we talk about your event coming up next weekend, let's talk about how your own running is going. You've done Boston many times. You've shared your stories with us before. So just give us an update on your own running.
Well, that's actually a good question right now. My own running has taken a bit of a backseat for the first time in, I guess, the 12 years I really started getting into it. I did Boston again this year. It was my eighth time. We had a lot of fun, as you may know. Boston was
it was quite a day
this year.
Yeah,
it was quite a day, and I got to be honest, I enjoyed it. I don't know what got into me, but I went in with an open mind and accepted it and made the best of it. And the harder it rained, the bigger I smiled, and I really enjoyed it. Obviously, it wasn't my best time, but I was with our large group of people again, and a few first timers that we were enjoying being with and seeing them have their first trip to Boston, and it just made the best of the day. It was one of those runs. At the end of it, I couldn't believe how much I actually enjoyed it, and I, obviously, unlike other people, I dressed for the occasion, and many did and enjoyed it, and many sort of went in with that speed goal aspect and wore shorty shorts and singlets and suffered. So, I think if you treat a race right and treat it with respect, you can come out and enjoy it.
Sounds like you have the right approach.
Yeah. So because we kind of backed off a little bit, I felt, oh, I can maybe do Buffalo, which is another particularly favorite race of mine. 6 weeks apart, I think, or 4 weeks apart, something like that, 5 weeks apart. Anyway, I thought I'd take a week to recover and get back into it. And then training for Buffalo, one run to sort of felt that hamstring tweak. And instead of being smart and resting, and I kept pushing, and that was trouble. So I was forced to take some time off. And maybe it was a good thing. I've been, go for, a dozen years with no real time off. I fit 49 marathons into that sort of 10
wow.
year span of, from the first marathon to Boston this year. So I've taken a bit of time off. I'm coaching still. We, with the Beaches Runners Club, we have a group called BRC Accelerate, which is, I would say it's sort of a step up from your typical running store type training programs. It gives people a chance to get some more one-on-one coaching and personalized training programs. And we're up to a group of 40. And everybody has sort of customized training. A lot of them are in groups, so they will run similar distances and similar types of workouts. But there's a chance for these runners to get more official coaching, I guess we could call it. And we're in our second session. The first session was a huge success with a lot of people really enjoying that step-up approach. There's a lot of personal bests in their spring marathons. And so we grew from 25 to 40 for this round.
Well, good for you. And you're organizing this event next weekend. So tell us about Shakespeare Runs the Night. I understand that, first of all, as the name suggests, this is an evening event, and people actually dress up as Shakespearean characters.
I'm hoping that that's the case, because it went well in previous years. If you may have heard of a race called Midsummer Night's Run,
right,
which had a good run for I think they had 9 years, and about 5 years ago, they was their last go at it with was supposed to be a temporary break, and we lost track of them, and we were waiting for it to come back. And a lot of runners talked about it. It was a lot of runners' favorite race, and it was geared around the Midsummer Night's Dream play, and so that was what people would dress up as. And we tried to work with the previous race directors and help them out and get it going, and their lives have moved on to other things. And so I thought, well, let's see if we can get the permit to run the race on that typically the same day, the last Sunday and or last Saturday evening in August. And I was able to get the event, not on the streets, so it won't be the same route that used to be taken because, as you know, Toronto has a bit of a moratorium on street closures. And because of the race became defunct, so did the permit. So,
okay.
So we couldn't call it an existing race anymore. Hence the name change. I didn't want to go by the same name because it's different race directorship and different route and stuff like that. So I want people to know that it is not the exact same race, but by heart it is. It's a Saturday evening, and we changed the name to Shakespeare Runs the Night, and it opens up more characters for them to dress up as, so they don't have to, you know, dress up as a Midsummer Night's Dream character. You know, they've got the whole gamut of the Shakespeare plot to go by, and I'm hoping people do because it makes it fun. It's a good time for a 15K and 30K race with the fall half marathon and marathons coming up, so I'm hoping that people sort of treat it with a bit of fun. I know it's nice to go out there and race, but it's also nice to go out there and run with your friends and have some fun with it too.
And the route looks really cool. I was looking at it online, and you're running right out along the lake shore and out on almost right into the water practically, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We use a new section that's opened up in the last year and a half. It's a little west of that park, so you got a little detour going in with a nice new trail with lots of foliage and a little change of scenery.
Yeah, and describe the area for those people who don't know Toronto. This is on the lakeshore, right?
Yeah, so just off the lakeshore, at the foot of Leslie, is it extends out into the water. It's known as Tommy Thompson Park, but maybe more commonly known by the locals as the Leslie Spit.
Right.
Which is reclaimed land. Over the years, they've built up this land, and it's a sanctuary. So there's no vehicles allowed on a regular basis. So obviously, the yacht club members can get out there, and the service vehicles can get out there. But it's generally a sanctuary. It's great for bird watching. There's lots of wild, not dangerous, but wild creatures out there. And cyclists are welcome, runners are welcome, walkers are more than welcome. And they allow us to hold some events, some running events in this section. And the original Midsummer Night's Run was run out in that section as well, as a number of other races, including our Jazz Run, which is just a couple weeks ago. So you can imagine trying to fit two races in a month. And might I add, a move in between where we just moved our house yesterday.
So, okay, wow. So you've had a busy... You've had a busy run. So, Dave, tell me what it's like for you to be organizing events, having participated in so many as a runner yourself, what it's like to be on the other side for you.
Well, I do love the organization. And I have a great team to work with, the Beaches Runners Club members. You know, being runners makes them fantastic volunteers. We have a huge focus on runner happiness. So when we do our events, we think, well, we're all runners. What do we like in an event? And that's what we aim to achieve, is to, you know, everybody gets a chance to say, you know, what would be great is this and what would be great is that. And it's all runners making the suggestions. And we think about what we don't like about other races, and we cut those out or fix them. And it's great to be on the organizational side to say, okay, we can make this happen. And it's hard, but we make it happen. And we have good things about our races, like, you know, dual pickup spots, one in the west and one in the east, which obviously is a bit of a logistical challenge, but we make it work, and the runners just love the fact that, you know, ones that live out west don't have to get kit pickup in the east and vice versa. So, you know, I love it. Being off with this injury this year, you know, and between coaching and organizing races, it keeps my love of running satiated, for sure.
Yeah, and you're not just organizing this one event. You've got a running series now with the Beaches Running Club. You're doing four events a year.
Correct, yeah. We started off with the Tanimbaum 10K, which is, you know, it's a city favorite, very popular race. And we did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then we took over what was known as the Beaches Jazz Tune-Up Run, the CRS Canada Running Series. Took on their new event, the Waterfront 10K, and it was too much for them to do both at the same time. They didn't want this Jazz Run to become defunct, so they asked if we'd take it over, and we did. And at that point in time, turned it into a chip-timed race with medals and swag and everything, and it gave me a chance to to, you know, spread my wings a bit as a race director and try out some more things. And it's been a huge success. We just had our third year with 1,250 runners this year. And the Tanabom is 1,400 runners, which will grow again to 1,500 next year, which is about the cap that that path can handle. And now we have an Easter race as well. Easter races are, we just did our second year. It was a small event. The Beaches Lions Club is a beneficiary of that one. They were looking for some, a little extra help with their fundraising in order to hold events like the Easter parade and stuff like that. So when they asked us to do it, I was keen to help out and keen to try something a little different. And then when I found out there was the opportunity to get the Midsummer Night's Run date, we added the fourth event.
Yeah.
So it's been a busy year for me, but you know, there's I'd call it burning the candles at both ends, but won't worry about me. I can handle it. I think it's the way I like to, the way
sure.
I like to roll.
Well, and it's an outlet for your passion for running, which is great. Dave, thank you so much for all that you do. I know you coach a lot of runners, you inspire a lot of runners, you share your story. I think it makes a big difference, and I really appreciate you joining us on the show this week. Thanks.
Always happy to be on the show, Mark.
That's Dave Emilio of the Beaches Running Club in Toronto. Shakespeare Runs the Night is next weekend. Coming up next on iRun Radio, the incredible story of an MS patient who is now training for a marathon. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Just a year ago, Blake Hurtis was struggling through a very difficult time. Blake was diagnosed with MS. And months ago, he was barely able to walk. Now, after a bone marrow transplant, he's training for a marathon. Blake, thank you for joining us. Let's start with the direction your life went after you were diagnosed with MS. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I was diagnosed in 2007, shortly after I got out of the U.S. military. Really, before the transplant, you know, I had gone a long time without being symptomatic. I didn't have any issues. And then all of a sudden, things got really, really bad.
And how bad did they get? Can you describe it?
Well, I was unable to eat or drink or even take IV fluids. They would make me sick. So I was losing weight very rapidly. And just lost all strength and started having some pretty serious brain issues. And
wow,
it wasn't a very fun time.
Tell me about the bone marrow transplant and what the prognosis was based on that. What the potential was that this procedure would help you.
Well, I think the prognosis is always pretty positive. There was the assumption that I would return to some form of normalcy, that, you know, just as before, I could walk around and nobody would even know that I had MS. So I think that was the expectation going into it. I don't think there was the expectation that I would, you know, run a marathon.
Right. But once upon a time, you were worried that you would be using a wheelchair later in your life, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like the first time you walk into the MS clinic as a 25-year-old and you look around and everybody who's older than you, you know, has a walker or a wheelchair, like you see that as your future. That's where you're going to end up.
Were you a runner before you got MS?
Not seriously. I had run a couple half marathons and, you know, when I was in the military, I really didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But, but I never looked at it as something serious. It was more just for me to relax. It was like a form of meditation for me.
So you had the bone marrow transplant, and how did things go after that?
For the first little bit, things are rough. You know, you're still recovering from what is a lot of chemotherapy, and you're sort of wondering if you're ever going to really get back to normal, because that does last a while. And then as slowly as you start to heal and you start to recover, for me, that was a signal that I could start pushing myself again.
And what made you conceive of running a marathon at that point? Again, you're in the early days of recovering from this life-changing procedure, and before that, you were obviously in very difficult circumstances.
So I had maybe done something stupid. Before I went through the transplant, I had agreed with a friend to run the 10K at Ottawa race weekend. So I struggled through that and put up a not so great time, but I did it. And then I got asked by another friend to run the PEI marathon. And I thought about it for a couple days, and I thought, yeah, I can do that. I can make that work.
What made you feel that?
Just that I knew that I had the ability to push myself that far, that I was okay with pushing myself that far. And that the only thing that was going to stop me from being able to do that is myself accepting that I couldn't.
So once you had the transplant and you felt like you could overcome the physical limitations, it became a mental challenge. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It was more thinking about how do you overcome the things that a lot of marathon runners have to overcome. How do you overcome the pain threshold, for example? You know, how do you deal with the endurance in your own mind to run a marathon?
And the marathon is now a couple months away, right? It's in October?
Yeah, on my birthday, October 14th.
Okay, so 2 months away, and how's the training going?
It's been pretty good. I mean, it's a recovery. I mean, you're a runner, so you know you need to have your base in place. And so it took me a while to really get back to having a bit of a base for running. You know, you spend so much time off that you start to lose that muscle memory and that endurance. And so it took me a while to build the solid base back up, but now it's down to speed training and hopefully getting faster.
And what does it feel like to you each time you cross a threshold of running farther than you've run before or having a really good training run, that kind of thing, given where you were just a couple of years ago?
Oh, it's a complete runner's high. You reach out to something that people didn't think was possible for you to do, that, you know, 18 months ago, nobody would have ever thought I'd do that, you know? And so personally, it's a really euphoric feeling to do that. It just keeps driving you forward.
Now tell us about the stroller. This story is in the Ottawa Citizen, about how you have a stroller that you had to use for support at one point, which you've kept even now. You don't need it anymore.
Yeah, it sits in my shed now. But when I first started walking and running, I needed something that would keep me upright. I wasn't too keen on falling on my face. So, you know, the obvious solution there is a walker for most people. But I knew I would be running, and so a walker really wouldn't work. And my driveway is gravel. The road at the end of my driveway is gravel. And so a walker wasn't going to be a solution. So I hunted down a running stroller, and I would just weight it down so that it didn't fly away from me and I didn't fall over.
So you would be out running, and instead of having a baby in the stroller in front of you, you just had weights to give it some ballast.
Yeah, I'd put about 40 pounds of dumbbell in the baby stroller, which looks a little bit weird, but It does the job.
Wow. And what else are you trying to prove with this run? Are you trying to raise awareness? Are you trying to raise money?
Well, I mean, the money does help, but it's more to raise awareness than anything else. And it's really to raise awareness among people who have MS. I don't think there's a lot out there for people with MS to look at as an example of what they can accomplish. You know, a lot of the times we're told to moderate our behavior, you know, to be very, very safe. And you struggle every day with the physical limitations of MS, but you don't have something out there that says you can do more.
So you want to show people with MS that there is a future like yours that's possible?
Yes, that it is possible. There, as long as you put in the work, as long as you stay dedicated, and as long as you stay focused on any goal, you can get there and you can be all right.
It's very inspiring. Blake, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with your training.
All right. Thanks for having me, Mark.
That is Blake Curtis, who lives in Smiths Falls near Ottawa. Coming up next, how the running community helped one woman get to the finish line.
For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca.
Jen Schneider is a runner in Beamsville, Ontario, which is in the Niagara region. She's training for the 5K at the Niagara Falls International Marathon in October, and she has a great story to tell about how the running community has embraced and welcomed her. Jen, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into running.
Well, I started a few years ago with a small group of friends, and we were just trying to get healthier and try something different. And we joined a run group together. And then slowly, over the years, a bunch of us have just sort of stayed together. And we've been doing little runs here and there the last couple of years together.
Very cool. And you are getting ready now to run the 5K at the Niagara Falls International Marathon coming up this fall. Is that right?
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm hoping to do a good job this year because we've been out consistently every week and trying to work on, you know, that 5K length.
Yeah. In fact, you have been running the 5K pretty much every week. So I gather that the race organizers put on a free 5K event every Saturday, and you're a regular, to say the least.
Yes. Charles has organized the Run Niagara Series, which is a free 5K run every Saturday, and they alternated between two locations, one in St. Catharines and one in Welland. And so a group of us have been going out every week and running those routes, and they are a great bunch of people to run with. The first time I went out, I was a little bit nervous, not being that well of an accomplished runner, and but everybody was very welcoming and very encouraging, and in that, you know, led me to encourage more people to come out and try it.
Okay. And so tell me what these events are like, because obviously they're free events. They're a little more laid back than your typical running race where you've got timing chips and medals and race bibs and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, you sign up online, and when you do that, you sign up once, and then whenever you can make a Saturday, you just go. And you have a race number. You keep the same race number every week. And Charles has a device where he times. So you do get
okay.
Your times every week.
That's good.
And so you're sort of racing against yourself, right, to see how much you can improve each week.
And how has it gone for you?
Well, I started out not so good on my first one, but each week I've been slowly getting better and better. And what's really good is that last week was probably one of my toughest weeks. I really, really struggled to kind of finish and was really having a rough time. But everybody there is very, very encouraging. And at my 2.5 mark, the girl that was there, she was really encouraging me. And then she met me at about 4K on my way back and ran in the last K with me. And then a few more of the gentlemen who run every week also joined in, and they helped me get to that end when I felt it was a time when maybe I couldn't do it. So everybody is very, very encouraging. And there's people there of all levels, from elite runners to what I would consider myself a beginning runner.
That sounds really cool. I mean, the fact that everybody would come out and support you like that is incredible.
You know what? It's been great because I was really nervous the first time out because I'm not the fastest runner. I mean, I do my best, but there's lots of people that walk and run. But what I was really worried about was, you know I'm going to be the last person who finished that. I know what my abilities are, my capabilities. But there were about 30 people still waiting there, and I probably was 25 minutes to a half an hour after they had finished, and they were encouraging me, and they were cheering for me, and, you know, they were calling me by name. And the next week when I went out, people remembered who I was, and they were like, you did a really great job last week. So it's a very encouraging, inclusive environment.
That's very cool. And what does running do for you since you've taken it up? Why do you enjoy it so much?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm at the point where I enjoy it. For me, it's a challenge. But you keep doing it. I do keep doing it. So I guess I'm getting some of that runner's euphoria that they talk about. But for me, it's a challenge. It's not something that I'm easily good at. And so every week I go out and I think to myself, no matter where I finish today, no matter what my time is, no matter how my run goes, at least I made it out and I've done it.
Well, that's a great attitude, and I'm sure that is why you get so much support, because you've got that great outlook about it.
Well, I think everybody there, we all started somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. So when some of those elite runners, they probably started in the same place maybe I was years and years ago, but I took up running a little bit later on in life. I didn't probably start till I was in my early 40s, and you know, it's been very encouraging. I would encourage people who are wanting to run and wanting to learn how to run and wanting to do a 5K to come out and join us on a Saturday. It's a great place to start.
Now, tell me about the area, because you live in a place called Beamsville, which is not far from Grimsby, not far from St. Catharines. This is a beautiful part. The Niagara region is a beautiful part of the country. And I know a lot of people love to travel there. It's wine country as well. So give us a sense of what it's like running in that area.
Oh, it's a beautiful area to run in. Where I live from my house, I live in the Beamsville area. It's a lot of up and down areas, but it's all open wine country and farm area. And so it's a lovely region to run in if you're working on some hills. The runs that we do on Saturday in St. Catharines are right along the canal, the Welland Canal. So it's all open and you get to see the ships going by, and you see all kinds of people out walking and riding their bikes. And it's great environment there. But it's just open and fresh and out in nature. And in Welland, where we go, it's also along the canal path, but it's a much more covered path. So on these hot, hot days where it's been hot, it's been a little bit cooler to run there.
Yeah, and I've never run there myself, but I've heard really good things about the path along the Welland Canal.
Yeah, it's fantastic because it's all open, and you can basically go from one end to the other, and it's miles and miles. I think you can go as far as Port Colborne.
Okay, so you can literally run from Lake Ontario to Lake Erie along the Welland Canal.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And it's very neat, too, because you get to see all kinds of there's all kinds of boats going through. There's all kinds of people out enjoying life and nature, riding their bikes or their scooters or playing with their kids in their park. And it's a great place to run.
Yeah. I just did a very quick, very, very unsophisticated measurement on Google Maps, and it looks like it's about 40 kilometers, give or take, from St. Catharines down to Port Colborne.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a pretty long run, but it's, you know, it could be done. People could run from one side of the Welland Canal to the other.
Yes.
One end
of
the...
Lots of people could. Not me. Not yet, anyway.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Someday for
yeah.
sure.
And where do you want to take your running?
Right now, I just want to try some other distances. We've looked at half. I don't quite know yet if I'm ready for that yet, but we've got my small group of running friends who've done an 8K in March, and so maybe looking at maybe like a 10K for the fall or maybe next summer.
Okay.
So we'll see.
And tell us more about the Niagara Falls International Marathon. You're going to be running the 5K there. That's your plan. And I know a lot of people have that marathon on their list because it crosses the border, right, from the United States into Canada.
You know what? I think so. I haven't actually done it myself yet, but from all of the things that I've heard, it's a wonderful event. And the scenery in itself, you go past the falls, I think. People have talked about it as being one of the elite races in our area.
Yeah. And it's in October, right?
It is.
Yeah. And tell me more about the group of people you run with, because it sounds like you really support each other and that aspect of this is part of what keeps you going and what draws you to this.
Yeah, you know what? It's been really good because we've been meeting a lot of new people, but we've been the same core group of people running for a couple of years now, and we were all beginners when we started. So it's been really nice because you have that support on days when we set a day, okay, today we're going to do a training run, or today we're going to do a speed work run. And it's accountability of going out and meeting those people, because sometimes it's really easy when you're doing those things yourself to put it off and not do it. But with a group of people, we've been really supporting each other and cheering on those little goals along the way. And the people at the 5K race have been really great, too. Just, you know, saying, okay, maybe this week you guys should work on this. So giving us little tips of how to train and how to make those improvements so the runs get better and better.
Yeah. And I want to come back to that race or that run that you described where you were struggling and you didn't think you were going to finish and everybody supported you and you got across the finish line. What did that mean to you to be able to complete that run?
Oh, you know what? It felt really great at the end. I think sometimes we get inside our own heads and you're really fighting the demons inside yourself. So it's a lot of running can be a very mental as well as physical activity. So as you're running yourself and you start talking to yourself and then you start talking yourself out of being able to do it. But when Nikki picked me up at the 4K and she said to me, do you mind if I run with you? And I said, no, that would be great. And she was just talking to me about, you know, you're doing great. I saw you at 2.5. I know you were struggling. And she was talking to me all the way through. And then a little farther along, probably about 4.5K, there was another gentleman in a blue shirt. He was like, come on, you're going to make it. You can make it under 46 minutes. You can do this. Keep going. And then another gentleman, unfortunately, I don't know his name either, in a yellow shirt, met us at about 200 meters to go. And he ran in with the two of us. And he said, come on, pick up the pace. You can do it. And then I started to believe that I could do it. So it was really good to have those people there to support you. And there was probably another 10 people waiting at the finish line. And we maybe had 50 people that day. So those people stayed around to kind of watch me finish and wait for me to finish. So it felt like it feels like a family.
That's fantastic. Jen, it's so great to hear your enthusiasm for running. I wish you the best of luck as you continue to run these 5Ks every weekend and get ready for the Niagara Falls 5K coming up in October. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Jen Schneider of Beamsville, Ontario. The Niagara Falls International Marathon is in October. On next week's show, we're going to talk to someone who just completed an incredible long-distance run in Machu Picchu in Peru, among the Inca ruins. And we'll be joined by a runner who's getting ready for the New York City Marathon. We'll talk to you then. Have a great week.